Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patrone. Another exciting week. Everything's happening all over the world. It's one crisis after another. We don't get accustomed to it. It's fearful. It bothers me. It's scary. You don't know, where a fire is going to start. Someone's going to throw that match and there's going to be a conflagration. Things are not getting better anywhere. Let me start and let's see what we come up with tonight. It has been a fearful week. I'm going to start with simplicity. I want to talk about police for a couple of minutes in this country. Again, it's a major issue. It is an important issue. There was a woman named Patience Pay, 29 years old, Waterloo, Iowa. She was standing on the steps of her front porch. She owned the property. She owned the house. The steps are part of the house. She was drunk. A police officer arrested her for public intoxication. Now, public intoxication, she's on private property, her home. She's on the steps of her home. There was a law involved. They had passed a law in Waterloo, Iowa, that if you were drunk on your property, you were guilty of public intoxication. This woman thought the law was wrong. She was tried and convicted, of course, because the law says you can't do it on your porch. She says, porch is private property. The law is wrong. Should never have been passed. She had the courage. She had the guts to fight this case all the way up to the Supreme Court of Iowa. Three courts, cost a lot of money, to defend. And finally, the highest appellate court, the Supreme Court in Iowa, said, you can't convict this woman of public intoxication, not while she's standing on her front steps. Front steps of a person's home are not a public place. Why do I bring this little story to your attention? It's for this reason. I have been stressing for the last couple of years that we've got a lot of stupid laws and a lot of stupid people enforcing them. This is a perfect example of a stupid law. The city commission or whatever they are, Board of Aldermen in the city of Waterloo, Iowa, decided they had to do something with people drinking on their property, probably, and passed this ordinance. Think of the money that has been wasted. The money wasted on the part of the policeman, on the record keeping, on the courtroom expenses, the court staff, the judge, this woman having to hire a lawyer. Look at the money wasted in prosecuting and defending this bullshit case, if you will excuse me. Now, we talk today, and we're very concerned as a society in the United States that we have too many people in jail. Well, this is how they're getting in jail, with stupid laws, though this woman was not sentenced to jail. We got these petty marijuana things. You carried a couple of joints, you got 20 years under the law, and people are still sitting in jail for that. Then you come up with these quota systems, because you must remember that the courts cannot finance themselves anymore. There's not sufficient tax monies to maintain a court system, neither from the state, the county, or the city. It's just they're in trouble. And this is all over the United States. In the state of Florida, the state over the last 5 years has cut back dramatically on the budget for the court. So much so that superior judges down here, comparable to the New York State Supreme Court judge, don't have a clerk. They have a secretary. These guys got to do their own research, these women who are judges. They've got to write their own opinions. This is a lot of work. I know they get a lot of money, but I also know how overbearing the system can be. So we have a quota system now, which I have talked about, where police officers are told you've got to make so many arrests for speeding, give out tickets for speeding, not stopping for a light timely, et cetera, because we've got to make money, and we make money because we have a quota system. I told you about the police officer in New York City, a lieutenant, a police hero, who got in trouble because he refused any longer to make X number of arrests. He had a quota system for minor crimes. He said it was wrong. I told you about the judge out in Nevada, okay? They're having trouble in Nevada. And he refused to any longer sentence people to jail or fine them heavily for speeding. Now, down here, for example, is $165 if you get caught speeding. He just thought it was wrong. He resigned. And this is what's going on. They've set up these quota systems, which means when you and I drive down the street, we are in a greater danger of being stopped, even if we don't break the law, if we're close to breaking the law. Don't go through the light when it's yellow, my friends, because that's only caution. You're not supposed to drive through it. I'm telling you something you didn't know. And make sure you don't go over the speed limit 2 or 3 miles. They used to give you a break up to 10 miles. Now, 2 or 3 miles, they nail you with a ticket. It's a quota system that has to be met, or they're going to harass you on your job as a police officer. And the judges know this, and they find the people guilty for these minor things that cost them money because they want to keep their salary going. They want to get their raises. The system's broken. And this means also, when they make all these arrests and everything, besides the quota system, your taxes go up. Your local taxes are higher because of these foolish arrests. Because they need the money to maintain the court system, which they can't, and then they have the quota system. The whole thing's wrong. And people, as a result in this country, all over the United States, are losing faith in the system, in the judicial system, in the legal system. And the reason why is it's broke. It ain't working. Which now brings me to a police officer and a 13-year-old boy. It seems every day now in the United States we hear one of these stories, and they're all the same. The situation does not seem to be improving. We are in Fallbrook, California. A police officer is sitting in a car behind a shopping center. Typical of most shopping centers in the back, there's a lot of room. There's generally no cars parked there, no traffic. It's for the trucks to pull in to load and unload. Anyhow, a bunch of boys were skateboarding behind the shopping center. No sign saying don't come here, no trespassing. They're skateboarding. As they went by the police officer in the car, he had the window down. And he told a particular boy, a 13-year-old boy, as he went by his window, stop. The kid stopped. He said to the police officer, why? And the police officer said, and I quote, you don't want to get dropped. You don't want to get dropped. Well, the kid wasn't quite sure what was going on. He's 13 years old, but he knew he had to get the hell out of there. So he started skateboarding away. The police officer got out of the car, ran after him, threw the boy to the ground on his stomach, started choking him with one arm. He's choking him. Then he tasered the boy's spine. The police officer is much larger than the child. He's 13 years old. And there was no reason for the tasing because when he started tasing the boy, he already had the boy down. He had one arm of the boy's behind his back, and he was choking him with a neck hold with the other arm. And the boy was scared. He was obviously in pain. And the police officer said, and I quote, good language, by the way, put your fucking hands behind your back. And the boy responded, I can't. There were witnesses, fortunately, adult witnesses, who were saying to this police officer, he's just a kid. Well, the police officer took the boy, cuffed him, had him cuffed, threw him in the back seat of the car, police car, and then he walked over to the witnesses because he saw that several of them had their cell phones out and were filming, videoing the situation. He didn't like that, and he ordered them to turn over their cell phones to him, and they all did, except for one who hid his. And he confiscated their cell phones and in front of them deleted the video on each one. But there was one person who said, I ain't going to do this. And he got away with it. And so on the internet yesterday, all over the United States, all over the world, I don't know, like 3 million hits, 9 million hits, something like that already, there is a 1 minute and 47 second video that shows everything I just described to you. You probably wondered why I had all the detail. I told you about the video here at the end. The video speaks for itself. This police officer was out of hand, off his rocker, just like that fellow in, what was it, Ohio or someplace, the pool situation, where he had the 14-year-old black girl in the bikini on the ground and was abusing her. This has got to stop. I don't know how we do it. It's not going to be that easy. Policemen were good people once. They're not anymore. There is no reason that justifies this type of conduct. That's it. So, which brings me now to, I want to talk about banks and computers and the government and hacking. In the last 6 months and in the last week, there have been some very interesting computer hacking cases. 6 months ago, the first one that got a lot of notoriety because it was a major entity was J.P. Morgan Chase. I think they're the second largest bank in the world, all right? And their computer system, 76 million household accounts were hacked. 76 million. Personal information of these people was obtained by a third party. In addition, 7 million small businesses had their records hacked, okay? Then came Sony, big company, S-O-N-Y, big company. They got a lot of money, too. And what did they do? The banks got a lot of money. Sony has a lot of money. And they got hacked, all right? They got hacked. This was when, like, a week of J.P. Morgan Chase. And the question came up, why? Why were these two major entities who have all kinds of great security systems, et cetera, why? How were they hacked? Well, we were told it was Russia probably. The FBI was investigating. That was with the bank. Sony was probably North Korea. And then we didn't hear anything about it anymore for a while. And then it came out that the reason J.P. Morgan Chase and Sony were hacked was because their systems were antiquated and they didn't spend the money to update them and to add on to and improve the security systems. They did not spend the money. Money which they had. We're talking about a huge bank and a huge international corporation. And why didn't they? It's very simple why they didn't do it. It's because there is a CEO of each company. There is an officer hierarchy. And they get year-end bonuses. And their year-end bonuses are determined by the number on the bottom of the profit and loss statement, how big the profit was. Now, if they spend the money to improve the computer system, to update the protections on the computer system, this costs money. With big companies like this, you're talking in the millions of dollars to do it. And they didn't want to spend the money because if they did it, that's a liability. It comes off the profit end, which means their year-end bonuses would be smaller. And so it wasn't done. Now, in the last 2 weeks, the United States government gets involved. You recall that about 2 weeks ago it was reported that the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, had 100,000 taxpayer accounts hacked. Could have been mine, could have been yours. I don't know what they have in these accounts, but they got hacked. Social Security numbers, money sources, etc. 100,000. The United States government, the IRS. And then last week, it was announced that the Office of Personnel Management, that's the office that keeps records on all federal employees, and there we have federal employees in the millions, okay, that 4 million people working for the government had their government records hacked in the Office of Personnel Management. Hacked. Now, why did this happen? Nobody in the government is getting a bonus at the 8-year end. President Obama went on television, and he was honest about it. He was straightforward. I admired him for this. He says, it probably happened because our systems are old. We haven't upgraded them. Neither our protection systems or our computer systems, they're antiquated. Would you believe that? All the money we piss away, and I got to put it this way, the Congress of the United States, trips for congressmen and their wives, money on wars we don't need, money in excess being paid to the military-industrial complex for guns and ammunition and planes and tanks that aren't required, so we give them the police departments to use, and you see what happened, and so forth. All this money wasted, and they never upgraded their computer systems. It's a shame. That's all. And this is why these things have happened. So whether it's Russia or North Korea, I don't care. They're not taking care of their house. J.P. Morgan Chase, Sony, or the IRS, or the Office of Personnel Management. It's just like a car. If you don't take care of your car, if you don't change the oil, if you don't make sure you got oil, if you don't grease it when it's supposed to be greased, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, what happens? Your car breaks down. And these computers are breaking down in a sensitive area where it comes to records of people. It's because they're not being maintained. An amazing thing, a disgraceful thing. We're going to talk now about the soccer scandal, but in a way you didn't anticipate. We all know about this FIFA, F-I-F-A thing. FIFA is the organization that runs international soccer. They've been doing it for years. You got to remember, soccer's new to the United States, and it's getting big. But soccer is football in Europe, Asia, and South America, and it's bigger than our American football. They don't play American football. They play what we call soccer. To them, is football. Recently, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, new United States Attorney General Loretta Lynch, took on FIFA, and she had arrested for various violations several high-ranking officers, including the president of FIFA, because she said there was an, I quote, rampant corruption spanning two decades involved. These people were accepting bribes, they were giving payoffs and so forth for different things. Russia, for example, is going to have the soccer tournament, I don't know what year, series, and now it said that Russia gave money to the officers to bribe them and all this sort of stuff. She vowed to root out all misconduct in world football. The president resigned. Now the word is, and she has said, this goes farther than just the officers. We are now investigating the banks, our friends, the banks. We are investigating the bankers involved, not just the banks, but the individuals in the banks, the officers who are handling these accounts, because these are big money, the money coming in through the soccer, the FICA bank accounts. There is involved in this thing $150 million in kickbacks and bribes. It has to be laundered. This is called money laundering she's looking at. Banks have an obligation, I don't know if you're aware, to do due diligence, okay? When we put money and we take it out of the bank, they have an obligation, whether it's my account or FIFA's account, to do what's called due diligence. They must be aware of the nature of our deposits and withdrawals. And if they see what they think something's going on someplace, something isn't right in Denmark, by federal law, they must follow it, investigate it, and report it to federal authorities because may very well be money laundering, taking dirty money and cleaning it so it can be spent. And that requires monitoring by the bank. And, of course, the banks don't do this. They don't want to do it. Why don't they want to do it? For the same reason J.P. Morgan Chase and Sony didn't want to improve their computer systems. It costs money. It costs money. They'd rather make the profit and put it in their pockets. You know and I know. I've done a TV show on this. I wrote a column on this, and I've said it on this show several times. There are bank officers, financial institution officers in this country earning bonuses in excess of $100 million a year. So they don't want to pay attention to this. It takes away from the profit line. This has been going on forever, people bribing this one, paying off that one. Forget about it. Nobody's going to – we'll never get caught. And if we do get caught, they aren't going to prosecute us. The bank may pay a fine. Don't forget, it was Eric Holder, Loretta Lynch's predecessor. He said the banks are too big to prosecute. He was full of it. I'm going to tell you, this woman's going to prosecute banks. Believe me, if it isn't in this situation, it'll be in another, and she's going to go after bankers, okay? I've got a feeling they're going to be indicted in this one, in this FIFA scandal. And about time someone went after the bankers personally, because I have continuously maintained you put a couple of big-name bankers, CEOs, not the banks, the bankers, in jail for wrongdoing, none of them will do it again. They will stop cold because the difference to them is another 30, 40 million a year in their pocket. It isn't worth it when they're making that kind of money to spend 3 to 5 years in jail. That'll cure the problem. Jeb Bush. He announced yesterday. I watched the television presentation of his announcement. I was very impressed. It was very well done. I truly was impressed. The thing was organized. It was structured. It was terrific. And I'm not knocking him for that. That shows he's got a good staff, and at least they have some intelligence. They know what they're doing. The only trouble was I wasn't impressed with Jeb Bush. He was a very good governor, from what I understand. I didn't follow things that closely 12 years ago when he was governor, but apparently he did a good job in the state. The only criticism people have of him was that he was too conservative. Too conservative. Unfortunately, the conservatives in his party today don't recognize that, because that was yesterday, 12 years ago, and he's not conservative enough for them today to support, I believe. In any event, I basically was not impressed with Bush. I felt he was out of the loop. He is 10 or 15 years ago. He is yesterday. The way he presented his thoughts, many of his thoughts themselves, to me, were 10 or 15 years old. He wasn't with today, and he wasn't with tomorrow. He wasn't looking at tomorrow. I also thought that nice-looking guy, you know, fatherly, reminds me of my father at his age. You know, the glasses, the white hair, he's got a little bit of a stomach coming on. He lacks charisma, though. Again, yesterday, he lacked charisma. He didn't have that personal charm that came through. Reminded me of Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy would never have been president if it wasn't for his appearance and charm on TV. The only reason he won that election against Nixon were those television debates. He killed Nixon on the debates because he looked so good. He was bright. He was positive. He knew how to speak. Didn't it help Obama when he first ran? Obama's a terrific speaker. He makes a great presentation. He's got charisma. Jeb Bush needs charisma. Unfortunately, it's required in today's society in the last 50 years in order for a man to be elected to a high position. Politically, he must have charm and personality, and Jeb Bush ain't got it. And so I don't think he's going to go anywhere. I feel sorry for him because it's going to be a lot of work running for it, but too much hard work. And I also believe this. I believe the Bush name hurts him now. There have been too many Bushes. The father, I thought the father was a great president, by the way. He raised taxes when he said he wouldn't. But the way he handled Iraq was an act of genius. He got other countries to join us. It took him 100 days to win the war. He didn't bring down the government itself. They just got Saddam Hussein out of there. He did everything he wanted to do in 100 days and got his ass out. So we weren't committed to having any more people die than a handful in that country. Bush, too, screwed up. As far as I'm concerned, whether he knew or he didn't know, he should have known. He got us into a war we shouldn't have been in. Too many American lives lost. Too many lives lost. And to this day, Iraqi continues to be a problem because Bush, too, invaded Iraqi and screwed up the whole Middle East, the balance of power, by doing it. So people remember this. People are going to remember Bush, too, if Jeb Bush is running, and I don't think he'll get the nomination because that sticks in people's craw. They don't say that Jeb Bush would be a bad man, but his brother screwed up, and I don't want him. I'm not going to support him. I don't think I can trust him because of his brother. I talked to you recently, I think last week or the week before, about German whorehouses, German brothels. I did a whole newspaper column on this about a year ago, and I talked about it on my TV show 3 years ago. Germany is the sex capital of the world today. Germany, Berlin itself, is the sex capital of the world. It's not Bangkok, and it's no longer Amsterdam. And why? Because the Germans legalized prostitution. Germans are smart. They got money today. Look at them. They control the Euro Union. And they saw all these women on the street and in houses of ill repute, whorehouses, and the girls are making money, the pimps are making money, the owners of the whorehouses are making money, and the government isn't making anything. And they said, hey, this is big business. Let's tax it. So they legalized prostitution in Germany under the pretense that it should be legalized. It's good for the girls. We'll give them protection. They'll have pension plans. They'll have health plans. Let me tell you something. It's been like 7 or 8 years. They don't have pension plans, and they don't have pension plans, or hospitalization plans, rather. But the government's making a lot of money taxing them. It's fantastic. I went through all this on another show. I'm not going to bore you tonight. Turns out Austria. Now, Austria is not part of Germany, but it's next door to Germany, and in effect, they are Germanic, these people. There's no question about it. Look, Hitler brought Austria into the fold. He wanted Austria because he says these are German people. They belong as part of Germany. Anyhow, so prostitution's legal in Austria and Germany. And the government of Austria is taxing the hell out of the houses of ill repute. Hermann Müller, rich man, he owns brothels in Austria and Germany. He's big in this business. And he's upset because of the taxes he's had to pay to Austria alone over the years. His taxes on prostitution's tax, source of income for the government. He feels the taxes are gross and are unfair. He claims he has paid $5 million in taxes over the past 10 years. Well, that ain't a lot of money, is it, over 10 years? I don't know. But what is probably $500,000 a year? That's still a lot of money, my friends. I'm sure he doesn't work hard for it. His girls are working hard for it, and he's reeking it in. He's raking it in. Anyhow, he's upset, and he can't seem to control the situation, so he's doing something about it to bring a sense of attention to the problem. His biggest bordello, is in Austria. It's called the Pascha Bordello, P-A-S-C-H-A, Pascha Bordello. Through now and the rest of the summer, he is offering free sex. He has a sign on his whorehouse. He has advertising signs on billboards on the highways. I'm laughing as I say this, but that's the way it goes. And he is also advertising on the internet. And his piece of advertisement reads as follows, and I quote, "Effective immediately, free entrance, free drinks, free sex." Free entrance, free drinks, free sex. And he says the reason for it is because I'm getting taxed too much and I want you people to understand, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know how this is going to help him, but this is what he's doing. And the man can't be stupid if he's making this kind of money off prostitution. He says, "My girls aren't going to get hurt. They're not going to get cheated. They're going to be not get paid for this, but I am going to pay each girl that does a guy what she would have made on her share of the prostitution fee, so my girls will come out whole." So that's what's going on with a guy who's upset about his taxes. I tell you the story because I want you to realize that the amount of money involved in prostitution, taxes people are paying over there, it's a legitimate business. So I can say it with a smile, but you can't be critical of it. The government of Germany, the politicians in Germany, the legislature, you know, people like Angela Merkel or her predecessor said, "Hey, this is okay. We're going to take care of these women. It's the world's oldest business. It should be legitimatized." And here's what happens. Okay, my friends, where are we? Woof, time's running fast tonight. I had a lot to say about Greece. I'm going to have to skip over it and save it for next week. But I'm going to tell you, by next week, a lot's going to happen here because I think Greece is going to drop out of the Euro Union. They'll survive. They're getting the shit beat out of them now for the last 10 years. But they will survive. The rest of the countries are going to get hurt. We could have a recession in Europe, and I believe there will be if the Euro Union gets hurt because Greece drops out, because everyone's going to follow Greece, Italy, Portugal, Spain. No pay, and that recession could affect us here. Watch out for Putin in all of this, by the way, because the Greek president is visiting this week from Thursday through Sunday with Putin, and he always comes out making a deal with somebody to help them, all right? And it could happen here. On Thursday of this week, the president is supposed to meet with the Euro Union for a final talk. And he says, "No, I'm going to Russia to talk to Putin." So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. That is the show for this week. I thank you for joining me. Hope you join me again next week. Hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you enjoyed the issues I raised. This show is archived, and some of you may be listening to it tomorrow, the next day, or next week on Blog Talk Radio, YouTube, and on Facebook. It's linked to my Facebook accounts, Key West Lou and Louis Patron. Please join me. I wrote a book, The World Upside Down. If you like the show, buy the book, Amazon.com. If you don't like the show, don't buy the book. Thank you again. Talk with you next week.